Pastor was just talking about, prophets, you know what I'm saying? And we'll be coming from definitely one of the major prophets, Isaiah. Isaiah 55, to be exact. And y'all say amen when y'all turn there. When y'all get there, should I say? It's going to be, we're going to be reading through verse 1 through 5, and be concentrated on verse 1 and 2. And let me start reading right now. I'm going to use the Hebrew word for the first word. I didn't even want to say this word, but I looked it up in Hebrew, and it says hoy. So I'm going to start off with that. Hoy, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that had no money, come ye buy and eat. Ye come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfied not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me here, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and a nation that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he had glorified thee. Father God, I thank you for your word, Father God, truly rich, truly powerful, truly full of anointing, Father God, and I'm praying, Father God, that you would, Father God, give me clarity of thought, Father God, that, Father God, I would decrease and you would increase. I'm praying, Father God, you'd give me clarity of thought, fluidity of words, Father God. And, Father God, I'm praying, Father God, come and fill me, Father God. I need you, Father God. I need you. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name, amen, amen. Last time I was up here, we was in chapter 4 of Isaiah, and we talked about, that famous scripture we talked about was, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rise up shall be condemned, Father God. So we discussed about how this was a prophecy of King Hezekiah, leading his people that was just coming out of captivity from Babylon, from the king of Assyria. And so this is a prophecy of what was going to take place. And as we looked in 2 Chronicles and 2 Kings, we can see the evidence that his prophecy was correct and on point, and that God had sent, a great king, Hezekiah. And after the Assyrians took them from captivity, they destroyed everything in sight. And when they came back to Jerusalem, Judah, Israel, Hezekiah built back everything. He not only built back the land, he built back the churches. He put church back in place. He also built up the city. He also encourages his people in the sight of the Lord, And he was a great king. And because he was a great king, Israel and Judah prospered. And as we look before him, when a bad king is in place, when a wicked king is in place, the cities fell down. God, in his sovereign ways, allowed the enemies to take a hold, to bring them into captivity because they was disobedient. They didn't follow the commandments. They didn't follow the laws. And so God said, I'm going to fix y'all, and I'm going to allow these the Babylonians, the Assyrians, to take y'all into captivity. And so this is what we are coming up against. This is what we coming out. And so at the end of this chapter 54, we can see that, as I said, he encouraged them, because as we also discovered that the king of Assyria, he came back. And what he did was he wanted to see if they was finished with this, and if they was finished with, if they were sure that being with this king was the right thing to do. And so he made a last-ditch effort, and as we see, King Hezekiah stood up against him, gave them encouragement, and also spoke to him and prayed with Isaiah. And then as we know him, we're going to find out, well, we did find out that the king, During the night, angel came and slew him and all, well, not him, and all his men. I think like over 100,000. And then also, when he went back to his land, back in Assyria, his own son killed him. His own son murdered him. And so we can see the result of not following God, not listening to the heathen and the pride of God, not obeying his commandments. And so at the end of this chapter 54, we can see that this is the heritage. Verse 17, we can see, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. And we can, as we move into chapter 55, we can see something special come on. If you know anything about a prophet, if you've been around prophetic people, you know, they have a tendency to be slightly off course sometimes, as in a little strange. Don't float to the boat of everybody, you know, between two places at the same time. You know, on earth and in heaven at the same time. And so sometimes, you know, we can sometimes be having conversations with a prophet or listening to a prophet, and they'll be talking about one thing, and then they'll switch over and then come back. You know what I'm saying? They'll leave, go up in the heavens, and then come back. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes when they come back saying, it don't sound correct. You know, it's a lot of symbolism, a lot of, symbolism, a lot of things that just don't make sense. But, you know, other prophets can definitely relate. People that, you know how to work around, people that understand, you know what I'm saying? And so at the beginning of 54, verse 1, we can see that this is what happens. And he is prophesying about, you know, see, sometimes when you come out of captivity, which they had just came out of captivity, you know, you take on the ways of your captive, the area you come from, you know, you take on your ways. They was, you know, locked up by some Gentiles, so they was taking on their ways. They was worshiping God as Gentiles. They was, you know, acting like Gentiles. They was dressing like Gentiles. They was eating like Gentiles. And so Isaiah is prophesying and also correcting and also encouraging them to, you know what I'm saying, worship like they used to. Worship like Hebrews are supposed to. Dress like Hebrews are supposed to. Talk like Hebrews are supposed to. You know what I'm saying? Do dealings with each other. Act good with each other like Hebrews are supposed to act with each other. You know what I'm saying? So this is what's happening with the prophet Isaiah. And we can see that he says some things. If you've any read any time, you spend any time in Isaiah, it's tough. It's tough. And it takes some prayer. It takes some fasting to understand what the prophet is saying. But if you get it, it's such a fulfilling and a rewarding thing. And also, you can see the evidence of him prophesying. So it's a great thing. But he says in the first verse, 55, "Oi, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that had no money, come ye buy and eat. Ye come buy wine and milk without money, without price." How weird that sounds. You know what I'm saying? So I'm reading this and I'm like, man, what are you saying? The Lord was giving me, speaking to me and giving me much revelation about this. And I, you know, gathered a few points. I wanted to do the first five verses, but there was no way. There was no way possible. So I got about 6 points. You know, I'm going to be a little fast. Some of them are a little longer than others, but I got 6 points. And the first point is thirsteth. Second point is waters. The third point, which I had struggled to even mention it, buy wine and milk, but we gonna work through that. And I had an opportunity to discourage it. So the fourth point is not bread. And the fifth point is satisfied not. And the sixth point is delight itself in fatness. So let's move on. Let's get in it. And our first point is thirsteth. And before we get to our first point, Thursday, we can see that, like I said, that first word was oi, and it means pay attention. It means focus. It means come and look. You know, I think about these stores that's going out of business, and they got somebody with the signs in the front, and they're telling you to come in. You know, the business is closing. We're having a big sale. Come in. Pay attention to this sign, because there's some big profits to be made. And this is what the prophet Isaiah is saying, you know, oi. Come, you know, pay attention to what I'm about to say from the Lord. Understand that these are some important things I need to tell you, and these are some critical prophecies, critical truths that you need to pay attention and you need to grab a hold of. You know, this is what he's saying. And first thing he also says is everyone, you know, Hebrews, Gentiles, you know, poor, rich, young, and old, everyone. No one is denied, you know, what he is about to recommend, what he's about to plead for, what he's about to ask for people to dwell upon, you know, everyone. So what also he says is, everyone that thirsteth. I'm having a problem. I can't flip my tongue. Thirsteth. Y'all know what I'm saying. Thirsty. Thirsty. You know what I'm saying? But one thing about thirst is, I was just drinking a Sprite, you know. Everybody know me. I drink a Sprite, you know. Little nervous stomach helped me out, you know what I'm saying? But the worst thing about drinking a Sprite, you know, it's supposed to obey your thirst, but it make you more thirsty. You know, if you drink the teas, you drink some of the sodas, you know, it might fulfill you for a little while, but I don't know what they put in there. They put some chemicals in there to make you make you drink more of their products, you know. And so I was thinking about that, thirsty. You know, and there's a lot of times we don't even know we're in a state of dehydration. We don't even know that we're thirsty as we should know. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times, you know, Phil always was getting on me by drinking water. I'm drinking a little more water, Phil. You know what I'm saying? Praise God. But, you know, I had to go through a little pain, some symptoms that let me know that I was being dehydrated. You know, dizzy spells. You know what I'm saying? Dry skin. Your brain not even functioning right. You know what I'm saying? You know, you can go weeks without eating, but you cannot go days without drinking water. You're going to die of dehydration. You're going to die of not drinking water way before you die of not eating. You know, that's how important this water, getting this thirst. You know what I'm saying? And so another symptom is, you know, dryness under the feet, cracking of the feet. You know what I'm saying? Your body is not getting what it was designed to have. And so Isaiah, in his wisdom, is making this great correlation to the people. The people was in captivity. They were not serving God. They were not reading their word. They were not praying. They were not in fellowship with God. So he had to come up with something as, you know, being thirsty for water, but also being thirsty for the Spirit of God, thirsty for fellowship with the God, thirsty of reading your word, thirsty of praying, thirsty of fellowship with the saints. He had to make that correlation first off, because he had to let them know that you're thirsty. You know what I'm saying? As we're going to go along in these scriptures, we're going to find out, and you hopefully find out that you're thirsty for something. You know, are you thirsty for what the Lord has to give to you? Are you thirsty for the peace? Are you thirsty for the fruits of the Spirit? Are you thirsty for correction? Are you thirsty for, you know, order in your life instead of confusion and chaos? Are you thirsty for those things? And so we have to understand that also one thing. Like I said, everyone gets thirsty. You know, the B part of this is come ye. And what I saw in this come ye, in this first verse, he said come ye, I think, three times. And he is making a general call, but also a personal call. And I could see Isaiah looking at people in the eyes, you know, come ye. You know, as a prophet, you know what I'm saying? You know, the gift of discernment in a prophet is real, real strong. And, you know, God has given the prophets the ability to see in people's lives and sometimes to actually feel what's going on inside them, feel their feelings, should I say. You know what I'm saying? So I can see Isaiah looking at those people and focusing on their eyes, looking at the windows of the soul and seeing, come ye, I know what you need. I can see that you're struggling. I can see that you don't have what I have. I can see that you don't have what I know. And I can see that you don't have Jesus Christ. You don't have God in your life. Come ye, come ye, come ye. There's a personal focus, come ye. And what else we can see about come ye? We can see that, you know, see is constant. You know, you can see the pleading. You can see the trying to convince. You can see the try to drawing in. Come and drink this water. Come and drink what I have found to fulfill me. You can see the pleading. And I could see that in my life, you know what I'm saying? There was a numerous amount of times, like my mama say, unteen times. What that unteen? I don't know how many times, but it's a lot. But anyway, I could see over my life when I got saved, I could see had God had been chasing me. God had been pursuing me with his love. God had been constantly calling me. Come ye. Come ye. Come ye. You know, and today, you know, some of y'all in here right now, you've came to Philly, you've heard the gospel numerous times. But today is the day of salvation. Today, you're going to stop running. Today, you're going to answer that call, come ye. Come ye. That are thirsty. Come ye. You know, as a lot of times, sometimes when we do altar calls, we see the same people. We see the same people, you know, and some of y'all might say to y'all, I thought they were saved. You know what I'm saying? But you come here, you stand in this altar, you come every time until you get it. Whether you want to be filled again, refilling, whether you just want to hear some way, whether you want to be in his presence in front of the altar. But you come, come ye, you know, as ministers, as pastors always do, as the teachers always do, we always plead, come ye, you know what I'm saying? I'm not telling you come ye to something I don't know, I'm telling you to come ye to something I do know, you know what I'm saying? You know, so Isaiah is making the same plea, come ye, you know what I'm saying? I could see him talking to Jude and Israel, you know what I'm saying? They've been under that rule, they've been under that vile persecution. And I could see the king and his servants, you know, doing everything that he possibly can to take God out of their lives, to take their worship out, to cut them off, destroy everything that got anything to do with God. And so Isaiah, as the prophet, is trying to restart things, to bring back things to the way they were. You know what I'm saying? His job is to plead with the people to come ye back. You know what I'm saying? You are here physically, you are out persecution, but inside your soul, there's still some grappling. There's still the enemy trying to convince you that you are not finished with this sin. You love the world. You know, a lot of times when we get saved, you know, it gets worse before it gets better. And so the enemy want to make sure that you are finished with those besetting sins, you are finished with that thing that kept you away from God in the first place. So oftentimes he'll come back and try to check you and try to see and make sure. You know what I'm saying? So this is what happened. And Isaiah, and as also the people that work in here, the people that, you know, counsel, the people that talk, the people that disciple you, you know, that is our job to make sure, you know what I'm saying, and help you by the Spirit of God that you are finished. You know what I'm saying? So this is what is going on in the first point. Our second point is waters. As we go back in the first verse, he says, "Hard, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters." And, you know, he said waters, you know. And when I see waters, the first thing that comes in my spirit is, it's not just a glass of water. You know what I'm saying? When he say waters, this is the Pacific Ocean of waters. You know what I'm saying? You could never exhaust. You could never get enough. They could line up things from here to Baton Rouge with cups of water, gallons of water, trucks of water, and that would not equate to the what the Lord has to offer in himself. The waters. And we could see a good definition that by that. The woman in Samaria, the lady by the well. Let's go to Gospel of John. Let's go to y'all. Let's go. Chapter 4, verse 7. Let's start at verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me a drink. For his disciples were going away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which I am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who is it that said to thee, give me drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. The well is deep. From whence thou then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof them himself, his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drink of this water shall never thirst again. But whoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Are we like this woman? You know what I'm saying? We looking for everything else. You know, we asking, you know what I'm saying, for the blessing and not the blesser. Jesus is in her face, but she's asking for the water. But as Jesus in his parable and his wise wisdom, you know what I'm saying? If you come and drink of this water, I promise you, you'll never thirst. And this is what Isaiah is pleading and asking. If you come to Jesus, if you ask Jesus into your life, if you follow him, if you follow his word, if you hang with his people, if you fellowship with his people, you never be thirsty, man. You know, every need that you have, every problem that you have in your life, everything that's going on in your life, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. But he says something also in the first verse. That's one of his first strange things. He says, come ye to the waters, and he that had no money, come ye buy and eat. We can look at one thing about this living water. You don't need money to have it. A lot of times we want to try to hustle God. You know what I'm saying? We Hebrews, we know how to run game. We Hebrews, we know how to slick talk. You know what I'm saying? But you know, this living water you cannot pay for. This living water, I'm talking about with finances, with your things. And we can see in the scriptures that if we go back in 2 Kings in 18, you know, the Assyrians and his servants came back. And instead of the king coming first, he sent his servants to try to run game, you know. And what was the first thing they did? You know, if we look in verse 31, you can see, hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus said the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present. Come out to me, and then eat ye every man his own vines and everyone his fig tree, and drink ye everyone the water of his cistern. We got to understand that a lot of times the enemy does that to us. You know what I'm saying? We living for God, we doing things for God, we serving God, but he comes back and try to hustle us with finances. He try to come hustle us with the things we used to have. You know, we used to be in the game, we used to have money. Money was no issue back in the days when I was serving the devil. You know what I'm saying? I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about other people. You know what I'm saying? We was doing things in the world where it was easy to get cash. And when we got to Christ, we broke now. So just like the enemy, the king's servants, you know, the enemy will try to come and hustle you back in. You know what I'm saying? Look how bad you're doing serving Christ. Look how much success you are having serving Christ. Look how good is going on in your life. Look how many bills getting paid by you serving Christ. And that's what he tries to do all the time. And so you don't need money to get Jesus. Understand that. Understand that you don't need money to get Jesus. But he says something else. You can, and be part of my second point. You could buy it though. But ain't that confusing, understand? But everything is confusing sometimes when you're reading the prophets, Lord, have mercy. But you can buy it. And I'm talking about not the economies of the world, but the economies of heaven. You can buy it by grace, through faith, not of yourself. It is the gift of God. You see, the economies of heaven are way different than the economies of the world. You know, the way up is the way down. It's to be down. And I'm talking about humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. We can look at some other scriptures that this is a thread throughout the Bible. The meek shall inherit the earth. A broken and contrite heart, thou shalt not be despised. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. See, we want to try to get ahead in the kingdom by paying our way, stepping on people, you know what I'm saying? Talking about people, you know what I'm saying? We want to get to heaven by how we learn how to get things in the world. And that don't work like that. So Isaiah is taking this simple analogy and using it as how you get Jesus in your life, how you can get more Jesus, how you can equate more finances in the heavenly. I hate to use that word, but finances in heavenly. You're storing up things in heaven. This is the way, by faith. See, God said you cannot please him without faith. If you don't believe that God is going to bless you, if you don't believe that God is going to help you, if that God is going to do these things, you're not going to receive nothing. You know, actually, he does give you the faith to believe in him, actually. So you cannot go wrong. He tells you to go to the bank, and I'm going to put some money in your bank account, then you could draw it out. That's the same thing that God is telling you about faith. I'm going to give you faith, and then you could use that faith to believe in me. It don't make sense in the world, but in the heavens it does. So this is how you can buy. See, he says, come ye buy and eat. What that means is you got to enjoy the fruits of salvation. You know, you got to sit there and be happy and joyous that you're not going to hell. Let me say that again. You should be jumping for joy and glad that you are not going to hell. Eternal fire. Now, you have to accept Jesus. You have to believe that you are a sinner. And you just have to receive it in faith that God is going to save you, that his spirit will come in you. And there's plenty of proofs. You can look at me. You can look at everybody. You know, a bunch of people in this area, You could read the word because the word is true and it's the right thing to believe in. How much evidence do you need? But eat. Eat. Enjoy. You know, that's a lot of times, you know, and I did this, man, I felt kind of bad, you know, going to graduations, a few graduations, you know. I look back and I should have ate some of that good food, Bill. But I made a mistake and ate before I came. So I think back, I should have enjoyed that food. You don't want to look back at your life. You don't want to look back at your walk and say you didn't enjoy salvation. You didn't enjoy what Jesus Christ done on that cross for you. And that's always a whole plethora of benefits. I can't go through the list right now. You know, peace, joy, happiness. You know what I'm saying? You know. Enjoy your salvation. Eat it. Eat them scrolls, y'all. You know, when I'm reading this word, sometimes I read a couple of verses and I got to stop and I can't believe I'm reading the words of Jesus Christ. I have to sit back and I have to, like, I'm really, reading the words of God. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, God, you know. And studying for this word, I read a bunch of verses, a bunch of chapters, you know. And a lot of times I heard a saint say he was, oh, my goodness, that's the right time? Help me, Jesus. Let me stop. Let me continue. But a lot of times when you're having trouble in your life, when you're fighting temptation, eat that scroll. Like Ezekiel say, eat that scroll. I don't mean literally bite your Bible. You know. Let me stop, y'all. All right, let's go to point three. I'm going to run through this. I can't believe this. Lord have mercy. Point three, y'all, I had struggled labeling this, but I had struggled mentioning this. Buy wine and milk. I really had struggled. I wanted to skip over it, but I wanted to use this opportunity to come against the enemy, to discourage wine. You know what I'm saying? But if you're a man or woman of God, you should not be drinking wine. Outside, inside your house, in the bathroom, nothing. 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 I don't want nobody to come see Anthony, Minister Ant told you to drink a little wine, a little Boone's phone. No. And I'm a cosign and I'm a echo, you know, First Lady did a message about Lamia. Mm-hmm. I listened to it, and, you know, some of y'all ladies know what I'm about to talk about. You know what I'm saying? One of the things that she told her son, you know, we could go in Proverbs 31, verse 4 and 5. You know, she was pleading with her son. One of the things you need to take notice of, you know, it is not for kings, O Lamia, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and prevent the judgment of any of the afflicted. Why would you want to get sauce? Why would you want to have a little drink, man? You know what I'm saying? The enemy is going to tear you up and they're going to run game on you and you're going to be finished. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's not for kings and queens, y'all. You know what I'm saying? That's how the Gentiles act, man. You know what I'm saying? You're coming out of this, 400 years are over, you're coming out. Throw it away. Throw. T-R-O. Throw. But the reason he said buy wine is, because y'all remember when we was in 2 Kings, he said the king's servant told the men, you know what I'm saying, you're going to have your own vineyards and you're going to have your own vines. And even to this day, if you own a vineyard, you know what I'm saying, you usually got some chips. you usually got money, and it's usually, you know what I'm saying, you're in the upperclassmen, you know what I'm saying? So he's taking his time where the enemy might be using it to try to throw people off, but taking that same correlation and try to make light of it, make what God would say of it, as in the riches and the success and the benefits of being a Christian, of knowing Jesus Christ. You know what I'm saying? This is a small comparison of the riches and the rarity of the word, of the gospel of prayer. This is a small comparison. But in Romans 11, 33 through 36, it says, "Oh, the depth and riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgment and his ways past finding out. For who had known the mind of the Lord, and who had been his counselor, or who had first given to him, or it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him in thought in him, and to him of are all things, to him be the glory forever. Amen." You see, the wisdom of God, the wisdom that you get from the word, is so rich, you know, it's so potent, it's so valuable. You know what I'm saying? You gotta when you hear the word preach, when you listen to the word, when you read the word, you gotta understand that you're getting some rich stuff. You're getting some jewels. You're getting some things that people will never know. If you're young, you're gonna be wiser than the ancient, they say. So you gotta come at that, you know, just like they thought wine was a rare thing, was for the rich. You know what I'm saying? The word that you know and the word that you have in you is rich also. And you gotta act like it. You know what I'm saying? You gotta look at the word as a valuable thing. As you being a child of God, as you being a Hebrew, a rich and a desirable thing. Plenty may know not what you have, or know not what you there will get, but you know it's valuable, rich, rare. You know what I'm saying? Also in Ephesians 2:4, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he love us." You know how blessed you are to have mercy. You know, mercy, mercy, mercy. Like Mr. Joe say, mercy, mercy. I feel you, Mr. Joe. But it also says, by milk. As we know, milk is one of the most nutrient-rich things in the world. They say when babies are born, they say that the babies that receive milk become more healthy, more stronger. Their immune system is stronger. You know what I'm saying? So I can see this correlation being true also. You know, as in the word, it says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Sometimes I hear the children cry. Sometimes I could just picture them children in the hospital. Sometimes I could picture those youngsters in the other room, 2 o'clock in the morning, screaming and hollering for some milk. "Give me my milk." If they could say some, "Please give me my milk. If I could walk, I would go get it myself." You got to have that same desire to get the word. Desire the sincere milk. You got to do whatever you got to do to come to Bible study. You got to, if you got to put toothpicks on your eyes, drink you some Mountain Dew, wash your face 10,000 times to sit there and read your word before you go to work, before you go to sleep. If you got to sit there and, I don't know, walk around, work. I on the job site, y'all, I had me a little Walkman when I first got saved. My uncle used to come look for me. "Anthony!" You wouldn't say it that nice, but you'd come call him. So I would sometimes stand, you know, and this may sound nice, I stay in the porta a little longer. You know what I'm saying? It was clean, though. It was clean. But, I wanted to hear the word so bad. I didn't care where I was. You know what I'm saying? I had a little break, a little lunchtime. I'd go around the other rooms in them houses, the big houses. They come find me. "What you listening to?" I said, "102.9. "What's on that? What that? That Walkman ain't gonna help you do your job. Get But I didn't care. I was so in love with the world, so wanted to hear the word. You got to have that same attitude. Everybody say, ooh, ooh, gaga, ah. You got to get the word. You got to get that milk. You know. I think about the school of the Hebrews. You know what I'm saying? We got people traveling all over, spending big money to get what we have every day. Ain't that right, cool? They got people driving, you know, people drove 18, 20 hours, no sleep, you know what I'm saying, to be a part of this. But also, the people, man, you could feel the hunger, the desire to want to know more, you know what I'm saying? You know, you stay down the street. And we got to call you. We got to go and ask where you've been. You know what I'm saying? But you have it here. You know what I'm saying? We got a pastor, first lady that preach and teach the word, man. They give it to us, man. And not only give it to us, but it might not be proper English. Been giving it to us. You know what I'm saying? Years and years. You know. Come get the milk. Come get the milk. Come get the milk. I'm going to read some right quick from Matthew Henry. At the end of this part of this verse, he says, Come ye buy wine and milk without money and without price. Matthew Henry says that these gifts are offered us are invaluable in such as no price can be set upon them. Wisdom is that which cannot be gotten for gold. That he who offers them has no need of us, nor of any return we can make to him. He makes us these proposals not because he has occasion to sell, but because he has the disposition to give. That these things offered are already bought and paid for, Christ purchased them at the full value with price, not with money, but with his own blood. We shall be welcome to the benefits of this promise, though we are utterly unworthy of them and cannot make a tender or of anything that looks like a valuable consideration. We ourselves are not of any value, nor is anything we have or can do, and we must own it that if Christ and heaven be ours, we may see ourselves forever indebted to this free grace. Mm. Woo. Let's move on to point four, is not bread. We're going to go on verse two, man. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which is satisfied not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat your that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Point four is not bread. You know, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? You know, if we look at in Judah, just coming out of captivity with the Gentiles, you know. And we could relate us, it's 400 years are up. We coming out captivity of the Gentiles. We coming from amongst them. We learn that, you know, who we are in Christ and how we should be acting and how should we be treating each other and how we should be eating and how should we be dressing and how should we be spending our money. You know, I had some valuable lessons learned these last few months, you know what I'm saying, where I had to lock down because I had some responsibilities that I take for granted. And when I did some inventory, there was so much stuff I didn't need it, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. When you look at your life, what do you spend your money on and for what? You know, I'm not going to lie, I like tennis shoes, I like clothes, I like to dress. You know what I'm saying? I'll be lying. But I don't want nobody never to think that's who I am. You know what I'm saying? Because, look, I'll be in my Dickies and white tee in a minute with my flip-flops. You know what I'm saying? And I'll be feeling staying where I'm feeling in a suit. But what are you doing it for? You know, being under Gentile rule, I'm sure, you know, I'm pretty sure, and I know that, they made us consumers. They made us buyers. Instead of being... lenders, we borrowers. They conditioned us, they designed us to act a certain way. You know, how you spend your money so they can get rich and we could become broke. You know what I'm saying? We spend our money on look good, but our bills not paid. We spend our money on fancy cars, but we parking it. You know? Hey, look, I've been guilty of this. Y'all not alone. But I'm just bringing it up to let y'all know y'all been tricked and bamboozled. But now that you know the truth, it's time to come out of there. You know what I'm saying? You spend money on stuff that's going to be productive, that's going to bless the church, that's going to help your fellow brother and sister. You know what I'm saying? Businesses that's going to help your brother and sister even more. You know? But what he's really talking about is, you know, let me go through these right quick. They coming from captivity, so I'm sure they was eating the Gentiles' foods. And I'm sure they was a poor hell. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of the things we eat today is because the Gentiles taught us how to eat. When we come from overseas, when we come off the coast, we weren't eating a lot of the things that we eat in Illinois. All that high blood pressure, bad heart, diabetes, that's because we're eating the wrong thing, y'all. You know? You're spending money on that what is not bread. How you dress. You know, men with skinny jeans. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry, y'all. Yeah, man. You know. I'm going to leave it alone, y'all. I'm going to leave it alone. But, you know, the purpose is, you know, it's for that homosexual stuff, y'all. You know. They tricking us, y'all. Tricking us. Making us look like some fools, some clowns. We ain't dressed like that, y'all. You know, God give us a desire to set, the gift that people follow us. We set trends. They love our music. They come watch us. But they're making us use it for the enemy. You know what I'm saying? Even taught us how to worship. When they was in captivity with the Babylonians, you know, I'm sure they was worshiping all kind of gods, worshiping all kind of things that ain't had nothing to do with Jesus Christ. They taught us how to worship wrong, y'all. And I said how to spend your money. But the real reason they're talking about this bread, talking about the bread of life. In John 6:35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. This is what he's really talking about, the bread of life, which is Jesus Christ. I promise you, you come to Jesus Christ, you never hunger. It may be rough, it may be hard, it may be difficult at times. Trust me, it's all worth it. The pain come with a purpose. All things work out, you know. God is doing a work with us, man, you know. Don't let that enemy come with his temptations and his little mosquito bites and try to deter you from what your calling is. You have a purpose. You're still here. We have work to do. We need y'all. We need more soldiers. We need more people dedicated to the word of God, to the cause. Supporting, undergirding us. We need that. Point five, satisfies not. You labor for that which satisfies not. Naturally, as a people, we really hard workers. You know what I'm saying? That's why they use us to build the pyramids. That's why they use us to build all these structures. We made America. I heard. You know what I'm saying? If we stop building, if our fellow Hebrew or Spanish brother stop building, ain't going to have nothing. Nothing. If you go back in history, we built everything. I didn't listen to the CD, but I heard, you know. But we've been tricked into being lazy, y'all. We've been tricked into being taught to be entitled to things when we're not entitled to jack. We've been taught to be lazy again, y'all. You know what I'm saying? That's why you see them kids, instead of getting a job, they'd rather be broke or homeless. Or work at McDonald's. It's good. It's a job. You know? But if you work hard, it's going to be rewarded. I'm telling you, man. If you go to that job working like they're paying you with more than what they're paying you, you're going to get paid more. You know what I'm saying? You go there and work as if it's your last day of work. You know what I'm saying? Did I say that right? But anyway. But we work hard for a bunch of the wrong things, you know. We work hard for drugs. We work hard to become the best drug dealers. You know what I'm saying? We work hard to make music about the best drug dealers and the biggest drug dealers. And, you know, like the old prophet Too Short said, gangsters don't live that long. And it's the truth. They've tricked us into thinking being a killer, being a gangster is the thing to be. When you talk to them cats that's locked up or you talk to them parents that lost their children, see if they say that. We work hard to do the wrong thing. We work hard to get the most riches. Not so you can bless people, just because you can brag, I got this before you. I got them 30-inch rims before you. You know, what the Lord want to bless us for, we using it for the enemy. You know what I'm saying? Working hard to have the most riches. We work hard to be the best in sports. You know, I'm playing these sports and I'm loving these brothers, man. I'm just so amazed. I gotta place myself and say, wow, these old guys are some phenoms. However, but if you're working more hard to be better in sports than working hard to be better in the word, that's why I got a problem. You know, you should be working hard to be more excellent in your ministry. You should be working more harder to be better at interpreting the word. You should be better at and working more harder to learn how to pray. That's what you work hard for. Yeah. You know, work hard. We're working hard to get the most women. We're working hard to get the most men. We're working hard to get both the most women and the most men these days. They taught us wrong, y'all. Your uncle taught it wrong. It's not cool to have a spare tie. It's not cool to be with as much women as you possibly can. That's not cool, man. You'll end up in the insane asylum. You know. You don't work hard to have as much women and much men before you die. That's wickedness. Wickedness. Just think about what you spend the most time, the most effort, and the most money on, and you'll see. Be diligent to add up things that's going to benefit you in heaven. Do those things. Point six, delight itself in fatness. In the last, the end of verse 2, he says, hearken diligently unto me. And hearken is, what the word means is to listen to give heed, to hear with attention. You know what I'm saying? When somebody says hearken, that means snap, snap, pay attention. Pay attention. You give me your full attention. Stop whatever you're doing and listen to me. And this is what he's saying. Hearken diligently unto me. And what that means, diligently, you continually work hard. You always work hard. You don't stop working hard. And what he says, unto me. You learn everything about Jesus Christ. You talk to people who've been knowing Jesus Christ. You read words, you read books, you read everything you could find out to learn about Jesus Christ. You hearken diligently. You stop what you're doing. You stop what you're focusing on. You stop everything that ain't got nothing to do with Jesus, and you focus on Jesus. This is what he's saying. Hearken diligently unto me. And the me is Jesus Christ. All your might, all your strength, hearken diligently unto Jesus. What he also says, and eat ye that which is good. He's talking spiritually right now, but I took this opportunity to say, you know, Hebrews, eat what is good for your body. You know what I'm saying? I know it's hard, you know, it's a turn nine, that ball crawfish, ball shrimp, you know what I'm saying, pork steak, stuffed pork steak sandwich, leg quarter sandwich, used to get on the trail ride, you know. But if you can't do it completely, do it a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Eat what's good, man. In my studies and my praying, I discovered our bodies weren't meant to take that stuff. All that sickness that's going on, all that stuff you're having, your body wasn't meant to process that hard stuff, that stuff is full of trash and stuff like that, you know? Anybody who do a little bit of fitness or a little bit of exercise or study that, when you eat clean, everything changes. You know, when you're fasting, you know, I could think clearer, I could see clearer, I could hear from God clearer, my skin will get a little better, my hair grow a little faster. That food wasn't meant for us, y'all. But more than that, eat what's good spiritually. You know what I'm saying? Don't be listening to some garbage, man. Don't be listening to some fake doctrine. Don't be listening to people you know. Just to be nosy, you don't listen to stuff they tell about your pastor, man. That's garbage, man. You know your pastor. You see him all the time. You know how you're living. Don't listen to that junk. You know, eat what's good, y'all. Eat sound doctrine. Be around people that's really living. You know what I'm saying? Read your word diligently. Read some good commentaries. Read some good biographies, you know, about some saints, you know, some martyrs, you know what I'm saying? You know, pray more, you know, fast more, you know. Eat what's good. Eat that which is good. And lastly, point C, let your soul delight in fatness. And the word is dishon. It means fertility, blessing. And what he's saying is, enjoy yourself in Christ. See, I laugh more now that I'm in Christ than I was out. Because I was laughing to cover the pain. But now I'm laughing because of joy. And I'm laughing because I'm cutting up. I ain't got nothing to be hiding. I ain't looking behind my back. Somebody trying to get me. The police looking at me. Stuff doesn't do that. You know? Enjoy. Like Pastor was talking about Sunday, enjoy this time. Because look, man, look, I always say this, and I, you know, they're gonna write books about what's going on in here, man. You know what I'm saying? The awakening of the Hebrews, you know what I'm saying? They didn't have plenty of awakenings all over the time, you know what I'm saying? All over the, this world. But the awakening of the Hebrews, enjoy it, man. Don't spend all this time worrying about what somebody did to you. Yeah, it's cool to vent. Yeah, it's cool, you know what I'm saying, to discuss somebody. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you don't spend all your time, you know. You spend time on how good it's been to you. How good it is to see my brothers. How good it is to see somebody healed. How good it is to see somebody graduating from PCA. How good it is to see somebody coming in up here, you know, and getting promoted, ministry. Be happy. You know what I'm saying? Enjoy that you can read the word, that you can understand what you're reading. Enjoy the CDs, you know. Enjoy expositional, you know, expounding the truth. You know what I'm saying? Enjoy 102.9, you know, when pastor come on at 10:30. Enjoy. You know what I'm saying? Don't miss it, y'all. You know what I'm saying? Don't miss it, man. You know, and this is what he's saying, joy to fatness. You know what I'm saying? Because when you're in Christ, man, you have a plethora of benefits. You know what I'm saying? It may not look like it, but if you search, you know, we do prayer every afternoon and on Thursdays. And the first thing we start off is thanking the Lord. You know, I could be, Brother Carl and the brothers and notices, man, I could be coming in really, really having a bad day. It's just not good. I don't know if I ate something bad or just didn't sleep. You know, the enemy messing with my mind, you know what I'm saying? Just some attacks, you know what I'm saying? I'm not having a good day. But as I'm up here, or as I'm in the seats, thinking about how good the Lord been to me, those things suddenly fade away. You know what I'm saying? I'm still in my right mind, Bill. I can recognize you, man. You know what I'm saying? I can see you. Kel, I can see you, my brother. I could talk. I could speak a language. I could even use my tongue to speak. I have my teeth. I could, you know, I got my knees. I got my legs. You know what I'm saying? You know, I got great friends in Christ. You know what I'm saying? I got years under a great pastor. You know what I'm saying? Those things are so enjoyable, man. I'm good friends with Carl, man. Me and Brother Carl. You know what I'm saying? You know, enjoy the fatness. Enjoy the fatness. You know, I was way longer than I thought. And I appreciate y'all standing still and listening. You know, I just thank y'all, man. Thank y'all for your prayers. Amen, amen.
Come on, give God some glory. Hallelujah.
Praise
God. Praise God. Enjoy the fatness, amen. Amen. And it is a time of blessing, amen. I know that word was a shock, the Hebrew word of fatness. Enjoy the fatness, amen. Because we live in a time, amen, when God is doing some great things, amen. We were just in here, we were looking at the good news.
To get us down, amen. Like to focus on the one thing that ain't working out when 10,000 other things we blessed in, amen. And so, hallelujah, just let's enjoy the fatness, amen. And here we go, we're looking at one thing that pastor did wrong, one thing first lady said wrong, one time somebody didn't tell you hi, amen, when they got 100 other things good in church, amen, that one thing, amen, is going to make you mad, amen, and not be able to, hallelujah, receive. And hallelujah, listen, we want you to what? Enjoy the fatness, amen, the overflow, the lanyap, amen. Hallelujah. And a lot of the times that stuff is robbing our praise, y'all. It's robbing our praise. Amen. And so, hallelujah. And when our hallelujah belongs to him, amen, we allowing the devil to steal that praise. Amen. And we don't give the hallelujah that belongs to our God. Amen. And so even right now, God's doing some things in your life, amen, where you're not appreciative like you're supposed to be, amen. And they got people in your situation. They got people, if they was in your situation, they would praise God more than you praise God right now. If somebody out there was living in the house that you living in, if somebody out there was driving the car that you driving, If they had another woman driving, listen, she wished she could drive what you drive. When you pass down, she said, that's my car. That's what she said. Hallelujah. When they pass by, you pass by, somebody say bingo. Amen. And you used to be in a situation where you used to bingo things, and now they bingo in your thing, and you're not even praising God for it. You're not even praising him for it. You used to ride through the neighborhoods and you'd ride in a neighborhood and say, ooh, that's such a nice house and I wish I was living there. Amen. And now people, you don't know it. They passing on your street. They passing in your neighborhood. Amen. And they saying, ooh, if we just had a house like that one, if we could just one day, God, if you would, you know. Come on, don't let the devil steal your praise. Don't let him steal your praise. Don't let him steal your praise. They got a single woman saying, I wish, now I don't want your husband, but I wish I had a husband like that. I got a single man saying, I don't want your wife, but Lord, I've been praying for a wife like that. I don't want your children, but oh, if he would open up my wound, if he would just open up my wound. We just not praise him enough. You know what I'm saying? He's so good to us. Amen. Listen, we're going to get out of here. We're going to get out of here. But can we just do that? My hallelujah belongs to you. And then we're going to get out of here. Carlos going to lead us. We're going to sing. We're going to pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's do that. My hallelujah.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
Come on, let's enjoy the fatness tonight. Come on, my.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
Come on, give it to him, Zion. My
hallelujah belongs to you.
My hallelujah.
My hallelujah belongs.
Come on, praise him for that house. Praise him for that car. Come on, you deserve it.
You deserve.
God, I'm sorry I wasn't praising.
You deserve.
Hey, I'm going to enjoy this fatness, Jesus.
You deserve.
Hey, the devil's not going to steal my joy tonight.
You deserve.
Hey, my hallelujah.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
Come on. Come on, Zion. Come on, praise him like you mean it.
My hallelujah.
Come on, Michesso. If they was living where y'all living, they would be jumping and dancing. My hallelujah.
My hallelujah.
Hey. Come on. Come on. Jay Gray, you already know they would be praising. Come on.
My hallelujah.
Hey. Come on, somebody. Tell him who deserve it.
You deserve it.
Yahweh, you deserve it.
You deserve it.
Yeshua, you deserve it. Holy Ghost, you deserve it. Oh my God, hallelujah.
You deserve it.
I don't know where to go from here, Carlos. I don't know.
You deserve it.
Where Brian at when you need him?
You deserve it.
You
deserve it.
All right, come on, give him glory in this house. Give him glory. Give him glory. Oh, he's so good to us, Zion. He's so good to us. Oh, he's so good to us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Right now, we give you praise, glory, and honor right now. We thank you so much for that word, Lord God. We give you praise that you came and gave us what we don't deserve, Daddy. We love you for it, Daddy, in the mighty name of Yahshua Jesus. And we pray if there's anybody who's unsaved in this place, that God, they would have heard your word tonight, God. Heard your gospel. And that they would not leave thirsty tonight, but that they would come and buy. Come and drink. Woo! That they'd be like that woman of Samaria. Sir, give me some of this water that I would never thirst again. Come on, say with me right now. Say, Most High God, I'm so thirsty for the living waters. I know I don't deserve it. I can't afford it. But Lord, I know if I ask you, you're going to give me a sip. Lord, I admit I'm a sinner, but I believe in you that you died on the cross for all my sins. And I believe you rose again. Now, Lord, forgive me and give me drink from the wells of salvation, which never run dry. And wash me inside out with those living waters. And anoint me from the top of my head, ooh, to the soles of my feet. And use me for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on. Come on. Come on.